Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to come here to worship you, to praise you, and to be blessed by what we are going to hear from our speaker today, because we know, Father, that you have given the Jeff the message that you want him to bring. We ask now that you would be with the music group, that they might sing praises, that we might all be faithful and just in serving you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, so we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call,
Mount Carroll Church of God. Are you excited to be here?
Woo!
We should be excited to be in the house of the Lord. This is the part of the service, if you're new and visiting, ever since the beginning of the year, ever since the Life of Christ is series that we have started, that we've been praying for at least three people. Three people, friends, family, each and every one of us should have at least three people that the Lord has laid on our hearts that we should be praying for. And there is none. There is none beyond God's reach. Yeah. Sometimes we look at people and we think, oh, they're beyond hope. They'll never come and know the Lord. But how can you measure God's love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness? It's immeasurable. We should always persevere and keep praying. So if you're new, we have these out in the foyer. You can pick one up on the way out and put down at least three names. Three names of folks that you know. Three names of folks that you think are not possible being reached for Christ. And pray every day for them, because only the Lord knows. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're asking you that each and every one of us would have at least three names that we can put down when you put on a refrigerator with a magnet, whatever place on our Bible when we pray, to remind us to pray for these three folks and help give us the perseverance that will not only carry on for weeks, for months, but for years, Lord, for years, that we can pray for folks that they'd come to know you and give their heart and life to you, because that's what this is about, for the furtherance of God's kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are Lord of Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. And Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living. Spirit,
morning. Welcome everyone here today, especially if you're visiting. We appreciate that you've come to join us corporately to worship our Lord and Savior. By the way, my name is Jeff Frederick. I'm one of the elders here. And yes, I miss Pastor Tim already, but David, you ruined it for me. I was going to tell everybody that Tim was graduating high school, but you already let him know that it's his master's degree. So yes, if you see him, congratulate him. But let's get right into the message. Today's sermon is entitled Samson with a Question Mark. And I say Samson with a question mark because I thought at one time I knew who Samson was. So to be a little interactive, please take notes and write down things that you learned that you didn't know about Samson. And I'm just going to give you a rough synopsis of what I thought Samson, or who Samson was. And that was, I knew he was a Nazirite, meaning he couldn't drink wine. And I knew he couldn't cut his hair. I knew his strength come from the Lord through his long hair. And I knew he made a poor decision, or he was just in a bad situation with Delilah. He was captured by the Philistines, and then in his last act, he begged God for the last amount of strength, and he defeated the Philistines, and he died in that. And so that's true, but yet it's far, far from the truth, if that makes sense. So I was pretty excited when God laid this on my heart to preach about Samson. And let me give you some background here. About 6 months ago, I saw a movie with my wife and niece, Jesus Revolution. Has anybody seen that movie? Okay, a few of you. Well, we're hoping to have it here at church this fall or winter. So I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I'll tell you it's based on a true story. And so when I got home, I'm curious. I love movies that are on true stories. They're pretty inspirational. And so I did some background checking on some of the characters. One of the characters named Lonnie Frisbee. Has anybody ever heard of this guy? Because I have not. I've never heard of the guy. So I looked into him, and they said that he was like a modern-day Samson. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But maybe I don't know who Samson is. So I started doing research on it, and I knew God was laying on my heart that this is going to be the next time that Tim was gone, I was going to preach on Samson. But the more I researched it, the more I was like, I do not want to preach on Samson. But as David shared last week, we had VBS, and did you guys catch what the title was or the theme? It's Heroes Hotline. So we talked about heroes. And who in the Bible is one of the first heroes? Super strength, it's Samson. And I'm like, ah, yeah, this is definitely divine, you know, revelation here. Yes, you're going to preach on Samson. So here we are. So let's see what we can learn about Samson. But let's start with prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. We just humbly come before you. And as we look into the character Samson, I pray that we may also look at our own character. God, may we all remember, even when we leave you, you do not abandon us. And I just pray that anything that I say will glorify you. And if it's not from you, may it fall on deaf ears. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so to start the story off, we're going to look in Judges chapter 14, but I'm going to go back a little bit further and tell you in Judges chapter 13, verse 1, God reveals that the Israelites did evil in the sight of him, so they left God, and God then handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. And then the rest of chapter 13 basically tells the story of Samson's parents, how they were childless, and how an angel of the Lord to be specific, appeared to Samson's mother and said, hey, you're going to have a son, and you're going to raise him to be a Nazirite. And the wife went to her husband and told her what had happened, and he prayed to God, said, God, will you come back? Will you send the angel back to us so we know how to raise Samson right? And the angel reappeared to the mother again. And she ran off, got her husband, run him to the angel. And he explained how to raise Samson. So they then offered, he wanted to cook a meal for the angel, and the angel said, I won't eat it. But Samson's father then said, well, let me offer a goat for a sacrifice. And then the angel went up to heaven, burned up the offering, and left. And the wife said, or the husband said, because then he realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said, we're going to surely die. And the wife put a little sense into him and said, well, one, he accepted her offering, so no. And two, how are we going to raise Samson if we die? So I find that a little humorous. But then at the end of chapter 13, Samson is born, and it said he grew. But this is, you would think, okay, this is great. But if you notice, it says he grew. It didn't say how he grew. It just said he grew, meaning it didn't say he grew in the Lord. It just said he grew. So that's the first clue there. But before I get into the Bible reading, I'm going to read a story. And by the way, I got this from Tim's library. It's the Holman Commentator book. And within it, the author of this book calls Judges chapter 14, he entitles it The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. So I wonder if C.S. Lewis got some inspiration from this chapter. But in it, he gives a story from a Lois Cheney, who wrote a book, God is No Fool. Has anybody ever heard of that book? No. Okay. Well, she writes an interesting story here, so I'm going to relay this story to you. Once a man said, if I had some extra money, I'd give it to God, but I have just enough to support myself and family. And the same man said, if I had some extra time, I'd give it to God, but every minute is taken up with my job, my family, my clubs. What have you? Every single minute, he said. If I had talent, I'd give it to God, but I have no lovely voice. I have no special skills. I've never been able to lead a group. I can't think cleverly or quickly the way I would like to. And God was touched. And although it was unlike him, God gave the man money, time, and glorious talent. And then he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And then after a while, God shrugged his shoulders, and he took back all three gifts from the man. After a while, the man sighed and said, if only I had some of the money back, I'd give it to God. If only I had some of the time, I'd give it to God. If I could only rediscover that glorious talent, I would give it to God. And God said, oh, shut up. Yeah, I'm not sure that it isn't from the Bible, but that is harsh reality right there. So can any of us relate to that? Well, let's look at the Bible reading for today. But actually, yes, we're going to look at the Bible reading, but let's first look at James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans, widows, and their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So this is the example that we're supposed to portray. I guess another good example is the life of Jesus. Jesus met with, you know, the worst sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. You know, he ate with them, he hung out with them, and the Pharisees criticized him for that. But yet, Jesus did not sin. So you could summarize it as, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Unfortunately, we have two extremes. We have the extreme liberal Christian that thinks they can do whatever they want and yet serve God. Or you have the extreme conservative Christian that, well, I can't get involved with anything, and they basically just stay locked up in their house, and they don't use their talents to serve God. But let's go ahead and get into the main story of today, and we're going to look now at Judges chapter 14. So Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. He went back and told his father and his mother, "I've seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Can't you find a young woman among your relatives or among any of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for confrontation. At this time, the Philistines were ruling Israel. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Suddenly a young lion came roaring at him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went and spoke to the woman because she seemed right to Samson. After some time, when he returned to marry her, he left the road to see the lion's carcass, and there was a swarm of bees with honey in the carcass. He scooped some honey into his hands and ate it as he went along. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it, but he did not tell them that he had scooped the honey from the lion's carcass. His father went to visit the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there as young men were accustomed to do. When the Philistines saw him, they brought 30 men to accompany him. So let's stop right there and just pause it. So several things are going wrong here right off the bat. Can you say spoiled brat? He's disobeying God. He's disobeying his parents. He's disobeying his vow as a Nazirite, for they're not supposed to do several of these things. But also, as the author of this commentary pointed out, Samson's parent raised him in the Nazarene vows in a strict way. And yet, Samson went back and defiled them. You know, you notice how he didn't tell them that he got the honey from a dead animal. So that would be against the Jewish customs of the day. And then it says that in verse 11, when the Philistines saw him, they brought 30 men to accompany him. Now, nowhere throughout, it talks about Samson's in chapter 13 through 16. Nowhere does it talk about his physical appearance. But yet it's ironic that there's 30 men brought to accompany him. So obviously they feared him for some reason. And now the author suggests that it could have been his appearance, but it could have been just his aggressive attitude. But 30 men's quite a few guys. All right, we'll continue with the reading. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can explain it to me during the 7 days of the feast and figure it out, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't explain it to me, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." "Tell us a riddle," they replied. "Let's hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." After 3 days, they were unable to explain the riddle. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Persuade your husband to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn you and your father's family to death. Did you invite us here to rob us?" So Samson's wife came to him, weeping, and said, "You hate me, don't love me. You told my people the riddle, but haven't explained it to me." "Look," he said, "I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, so why should I explain it to you?" She wept the whole 7 days of the feast, and at last, on the seventh day, he explained it to her because she had nagged him so much. Then she explained it to her people. On the seventh day before the sunset, the men of the city said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" So he said to them, "If you hadn't plowed with my young cow, you wouldn't know the riddle now." The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men. He stripped them and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. In a rage, Samson returned to his father's house. May God bless the reading of the scripture. So there's a lot to unpack here, but Foremost, there's a lot of dysfunctionality in Samson's relationship with his wife. Now, clearly, Samson should not have gambled with his guests. It was actually kind of an insult to them. I believe at that time it was custom that he should have given them gifts. Well, he didn't have anything, so he came up with his gambling riddle. Secondly, he put his bride in an uncomfortable situation. And then his bride, who should have communicated with him the distress of the situation, just went behind his back and deceived him, nagged him. And then lastly, when the riddle is told, and I look at this, there's nowhere in the Bible that says gambling is a sin. But clearly, gambling when you have nothing is a sin, because what happened here? He had to go and rob people, murder them, to get the payment. So, again, there's sin there. And then when he comes back, was he with his wife? No, he left in a fit of rage. So a lot is going on there. The commentator put it this way: our introduction into the appetite and exploits of Samson also exposes us to his character. He is a spoiled child who gives his passions primacy over people. In this chapter, his poor choices led him into episodes with a lion, a nagging fiance, the witch, and gambling debt that requires him to murder people for their clothes and the wardrobe. Even so, while Samson appeared to have abandoned God, God has not abandoned Samson. So ironically, we began with, I told you that the Israelites abandoned God, but God did not abandon them. He then brings Samson into the picture, and Samson then abandons God. But again, God has not abandoned Samson. Now, for the sake of time, I'm just going to paraphrase chapters 15 and 16. So in Judges chapter 15, basically you can entitle the chapter Revenge. Samson, after a while, decides, hey, I'm going to go back and make my marriage legal. So he goes back to be with his wife and finds out that his wife's father gave her away in marriage to the captain of the 30 men. So again, what's Samson going to do? It's like it's almost like he's on steroids. Goes into a fit of rage. And it says that he captured a bunch of fox. The commentator said actually it was probably jackals, because jackals were a lot more common at that time. And the commentator says jackals are very mean and they deserve to die. But no, that's actually what he said. But he said fox are looked upon as society as very nice animals. But actually, in this area, foxes were kind of uncommon, but jackals were pretty common. And it's easy to, they're like similar creatures. But anyway, he captures a bunch of fox or jackals, ties them, their tails together, sets them on fire, and it's harvest time. Well, when it's harvest time, the crops are dry. He releases them, burns the crops down, and the locals, they then have their sights set on revenge, and they go into a fit of rage, and they find out who did this, and, well, Samson's no longer there, so they can't take it out on him, so they get the bride, the bride's family, and actually now her new husband, and kill them. Samson's not done yet. He continues to attack the Philistines, but then he eventually leaves. The Philistines organize their army, and they invade Israel, specifically Judea, the Judah's clan. And Judah then sent 3,000 men, not 30, but 3,000 men out to capture Samson. Now, Samson, for the first time that I see, did something unselfish, and he allowed the tribe of Judah to take him in as prisoner with the stipulation that they do not kill him. So the Judeans take him, turn him over to the Philistines, and as soon as they turn him over, he breaks the ropes, escapes, grabs a donkey's jawbone, and then kills 1,000 Philistines. And then he goes back home. And then at the very end of chapter 15, we learn, I learned anyway, that he became a judge for 20 years. So possibly for the second time in his life, he's actually doing something what's right before the Lord, and that is he's a judge. But then after 20 years in chapter 16, he then goes off and goes to Gaza, and he is with a woman. And then he sees a woman that he wants to marry, and that's Delilah. And this is, I think, the story that most of us are familiar with. Delilah tricks him, and after multiple occasions, Samson agrees to give her, or he gives her his the source of his strength, which isn't the true source of his strength, but he tells her that it's his long hair. And so she calls in the Philistines, and they cut his hair. He's taken prisoner. And again, I'm sure most of you know this, but in case somebody doesn't, I will tell you that he is put between, he's made a slave. He has to grind a stone. And then the Philistines, they want to mock him, and they're having this big party, so they call him out. And they'd also gouge his eyes out. But they put him, bring him out as a spectacle to make fun of him. And he asks the boy that's leading him to put him between the pillars that support the Colosseum or the stadium. And he cries out to God one last time. And he says, God, please give me the strength to defeat my enemies. And he knocks over the pillars. And it says at the end of chapter 16 that he kills more Philistines in his death than when he lived. So what are we to gather from the life of Samson? And how do we apply it to our lives? Well, one of the principles that I read, and this I clearly understand, says God is not surprised, dismayed, or his plan derailed over our sinful choices or the sinful choices of sinful men. That's pretty understandable. But one of the things that tripped me up in studying Samson was, you know, that Samson was sinning, but yet God was using him. And so the author writes this: even though God's plan incorporates our evil choices, we are still accountable for our sins. And if you want references, it's Genesis 50:20, Galatians 6:7, and Acts 2:23. So how do we apply this to our lives? Don't loiter where you lust. If you remove yourself from temptation, there will be nothing to yield to. Trust your Lord. He knows what he's doing in the details of your life. In hard circumstances, ask God what you can learn that will make you more godly. And then one of the obvious ones, honor your parents. Samson's life would have been much less tragic if he heeded their counsel. Cherish your spouse. Samson treated his like dirt and ended up in a mess. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a father and son. Son ordered a father, don't swim in that canal. Okay, Dad, he answered. But he came home carrying a wet bathing suit that evening. What have you been doing? Demanded the father. Swimming in the canal, answered the boy. Didn't I tell you not to swim there? Asked the father. Yes, sir, answered the boy. Why did you? He asked. Well, Dad, he explained, I had my bathing suit with me, and I couldn't resist temptation. Why did you have your bathing suit with you, he questioned. So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted, he replied. Samson had no intention of resisting temptation. Indeed, he planned ahead to indulge himself. Not much good can be said about Samson in this episode. The story of Samson began at the end of Judges, where we learned that the woman would give birth to a son and named him Samson. We also learned that the boy grew and that he was blessed by the covenant Lord. After miraculous conception, God's promise of divine intention and attention, one would expect the verses to bespeak great promise. This was true to the other two lifelong Nazarites in Scripture. And a boy, Samuel, continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. That's 1 Samuel 2:26. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him and to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. And that's Luke 1:76-78. And that's talking about about John the Baptist. So, however, the reader who had never heard the story of Samson would be in for a surprise. Samson was exposed as a man far more concerned about his appetite than with God's glory. God gave Samson amazing gifts, and he squandered them. The tragedy of his life was not that he never got the woman that he wanted, but that he never became the man God wanted. I'll read that once more. The tragedy of his life was not that he never got the woman he wanted, but that he never became the man God wanted. So again, God does not leave us, even when we leave him. We all have been given talents. We've all been given time to serve God. So just think about what are we doing with our time and talents in serving God. Let me go ahead and close in prayer. Oh Lord, you have given us natural talents and spiritual gifts. At this time, we are tempted to use, at times, we're tempted to use good gifts to fulfill selfish goals. May we be good stewards of what you have entrusted in our hands so that we may stand before you one day and hear, well done and good and faithful servant. In Jesus Christ I pray, amen.
Find a way, bring me back to you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.